So how do we make this transcendence? Most people have no inclination for spiritual awakening. The best they can do is hold on to their beliefs, their theories, looking for a philosophy that fits their mental acuity. This, of course, is useless. For how can I understand what I cannot comprehend beyond the confines of my understanding? This is why people hear the Tao or begin a spiritual process and then give up very quickly because it's just too hard for them to understand. And they don't think it's worth it. Such was the case with Nicodemus. What I love about how Jesus taught was he opened up his life to everything. Whether people understood him or not, cared about him or not, he opened up his life to everything. Everything that was significant. Most people are only thinking about what they can get, what they can have. They have no sense of the divine feminine. You probably don't either. But you listen to these discourses in hopes that something will click, something might happen that would help you understand. But you see, even if you understand, it will be only another problem. Your understanding will stand in the way of being aware, of awakening. And it's because we are so immersed in our egos, there is certainly no chance for any kind of authentic awakening. The ego would keep you from it. We have no patience, no tolerance. This is why it is so hard for us to awaken. I've had many students come, and many students think they were students for a long time, and only to find they weren't. They have to find this out for themselves. Let me give you the story. The story of Nicodemus. He was a member of the ruling class of Jews in that day. He had heard about the teachings of Jesus and the seeming miracles around him. He made an appointment with Jesus at night because he wanted no one to know he was coming, especially his wife, who thought a great deal of him and liked the prestige of being, well, part of the ruling council of the Jews, of the Pharisees, Sadducees. So he came to Jesus in the middle of the night. He looked at Jesus and said, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could do these things that you do, offer the signs that you offer, if God did not want him to." Jesus abruptly interrupted him and said, "Verily, verily, I say to you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Nicodemus is puzzled. This is the way people are. They're easily puzzled. "How can someone be born when they are old?" said Nicodemus. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. You see, we take it literally, and we miss. We miss the divine feminine. That's what Jesus was talking about. The birth, not through the body, but through the divine feminine that reveals the soul. Jesus answered and he said, "Truly I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit, it gives birth to the spirit." "You should not be surprised at this saying," he said. "You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit." Do you understand what he's saying? The flesh is the flesh. It has its DNA, its genetics, its human traits. Most people give it not a single thought. They just hope their traits and their genetics, their DNA, will be enough to fulfill the DNA and to live a merry life, a good life. But Jesus says, the flesh can only give you the flesh. It is but a beginning. But the Spirit, he said, it gives you the Spirit. That thing. Inexplicable. And you see, this is the problem. Because it is inexplicable, most people cannot understand it. In fact, I feel no one can understand it. Not me, not anyone. It must be realized as essential. If it is not realized as the essential, then it means nothing to us. We do not awaken. We never find it. I must realize the awakened. I must realize the essentialness of it. For you, if you're comfortable in your body, in your little family, in your life, you're not going to want to disrupt that. The body is a formidable foe. It's of the flesh. And this flesh can be very, very demanding and cruel, severe. But we see that maybe down the line, and there'll be enough medication where we won't have to feel it as much as we're afraid of it. But of course, that's the coward's way. We miss. Nicodemus, hearing Jesus, said, "How can this be? How can this be?" Jesus looked at him and said, "And you do not understand these things? You, a teacher of Israel, a great teacher, you do not understand these things? Verily," he said, "I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still, people do not accept that testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things?" "No one," he said, "has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man," he said, "the divine feminine." Do you understand what he is saying? It is so very simple. You have to be born again. not of the flesh, not of the intellect, but of love. The Spirit is love. The womb within you, that divine feminine, is love. Not human love, not maternal love. Jesus tried to explain this phenomenon through the idea of biology a little bit here, the human womb. But the flesh is the flesh and the spirit is the spirit, and they are two different things, and they cannot mingle with each other. You either live of the flesh or you live of the spirit. It is up to you. But you cannot hear it. Even though you see it every day in nature, in the world, how do things come about? How does anything manifest? And it only manifests for a little while, and then it is gone. It changes form. It is not the same. The person you looked at in the mirror this morning is not the same person you will see in the mirror at night. Many things have changed. Nothing stays the same. We live in impermanence. If I speak to you, he said, of earthly things, you don't believe it. And then if I speak to you of heavenly things, you still don't believe it. That's what Jesus said. We miss. Who can reason with you? Who can really help you? What could ever help you? Lhotse and Jesus talk about the same thing, the divine feminine. But we just don't understand this. Let me give you a quick story. You've heard this before, I'm sure. It's a Chinese farmer story. It's about a farmer's neighbors who came over to offer him their sympathy after his horse ran away. "I'm not so sure it's a misfortune," said the farmer. The neighbors left, shaking their heads, thinking the old farmer was crazy. The next day, the farmer's horse returned, with three wild horses behind him. The neighbors returned to congratulate the farmer on his good fortune. "I'm not so certain that it is good fortune," replied the farmer, "that made this happen." The neighbors left, bemused by this farmer, who seemed to be ungrateful. Later that week, the farmer's son broke his leg trying to train one of the new horses, and the neighbors came by to offer condolences. "I'm not so sure that this is a misfortune," said the farmer again. The neighbors left, discussing the man's state of intelligence. They talked about how crazy he was. Well, the next day, the emperor came through, gathering up all the young men to be in his army as they had a war going on. But they bypassed the farmer's son since his leg was broken. And the story goes on. If you understand that story, you understand the womb. Nothing is as we think it is, and everything is giving birth to everything else. In this moment of you listening to me, you are giving birth. Either you are going to give birth to a new point of view, a new awareness, a new process within you. You would be born again of the Spirit. Or you are dying more and more into your misunderstanding. And hence, missing the whole point of it all. I ask students, when I'm working with them, just sit with yourself. Watch, observe. What is going on within you? What is happening within you? Why is it you don't understand? What is standing in the way? And they will look at me dumbfounded and say, I don't know. Well, they do know. They would have to give up the idea that they were right, that they were righteous in their rightness. We cannot be born again of the Spirit when this is what is going on within us. Cannot understand. The Valley Spirit never dies. It is called the Divine Feminine, the Mystical Feminine. The gate of the mysteries of the feminine is called the root of heaven and earth. How could you understand? Don't give these discourses to your understanding. Don't give these teachings to your ego, your intellect. Don't do that. Let them sit within you. Within your womb, your divine feminine. Don't try to make sense out of them. When you get up and you go to do something, see the creativity in it, the energy of it, the suchness of it, as the Buddha talked about. If you were willing to do this, in that very moment, you will no longer be by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And who can understand it? It can't be. As Jesus said, it's like the wind. You can't understand it. First it's here and then it's not. The mind wants certainties. And it wants to be certain of its certainties. And while it is not fit for any of this, we still give our whole life over to our mind. The farmer's neighbors just could not understand why he was acting the way he was. The farmer understood the Spirit, that it does not mingle with the flesh. And when this is understood within a person, then you can honestly do this. Thy will be done. Nothing is the way Gregory Edward thinks it is happening. Nothing. He is falderal. And if allowed, he'd be fodder for society, for other people. He would miss the whole thing. Which is exactly what he intends to do, to miss everything that is important. As I said, the body, the human flesh, it's a formidable foe. It has only its own purposes, and that's all it thinks about is what it wants. In your meditations, it is important that you give yourself over to the Spirit of you, to that divine feminine in you. And let it be the womb that opens you up to the meaning of your life, the goodness. This is why I want you to practice virtue, even though it makes no sense to your fleshly side. To live in the quality of a great virtue. This is what the meaning of life is all about. Once goodness is the natural cause of your life, and generosity, forgiveness is the nature of your life, that is when your life will become magnificent. I'd like the privilege meditating with you. I want you to open up with me to that divine feminine, to that goodness that lives within you, and let it have its way. Just be open to that goodness. Let